Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Week 2 in the NFL is upon us. And I got to be honest here. This is New York. What are we doing? Well, you have some Giant fans wanting their team to lose already to get a better draft pick. What? It's week 2. It's year 3 of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. The idea of giving up on the season already, BT, to me is ridiculous. I mean, I know the Giants laid an egg. I know it was pathetic, and we got into all that, and they better go out there and put together a better performance against a Washington team who I think could be very dangerous offensively. You look at Jaden Daniels and the weapons. Washington might be dangerous here, and who knows, you know, defensively, when you're going up against the Giants offense, everybody seems to be better defensively. So it's no cakewalk. Nobody's saying that. I know where the Giants stand here, but for fans to be rooting for the Giants to lose week 2, I find that to be asinine.
It's early, man. I get it. I actually do get it. I do. It's just so early. Now, I've been very honest about this, and Jet fans get all over me when I do this. Not that I care, but I've told you and I've told others, like, I bet against the Jets in the past.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, how could you ever bet against your own team?
You want them to lose the Pats game last year.
Yeah, because my own team generally stinks, and when the season's over, at least I can make some money off my bad team. That's why. You know, or I'll start to root against the Jets when I know that I need the coach to get fired. And the only way that's going to happen is if they bleed out toward the end of the season. Now,
you said the same thing with the Yankees, too, a year ago.
Yeah, I did. 100%. Yeah. Like, but less about Boone being gone and more about them doing this big overhaul, which they kind of did, but not fully, which we discussed. Okay. So it was a little bit similar there. And I only did that once I knew the Yankees couldn't make the playoffs. So I think that if you're a Giants fan here, you got to process it a couple of ways. Number one, do you believe in the head coach long term? If the answer to, forget about Jones, I know that that's the root of the hoping for the losses. Do you believe in the head coach? If you do, then I think you're really misguided to hope for losses. Because if it gets really bad, I mean 3-14 bad, 4-13 bad, I think Daboll's going to be gone.
Look, you can't root for, I'm not telling people what to do here, but I am telling sports fans, you cannot root for your team to lose. That is, then you're not
you mean
a
ever?
Fan. Ever.
Oh, no,
ever.
I disagree with that.
I hate that, but especially in week 2.
Well, but those are two different. You just said ever.
Yeah, well, I believe ever. Like, I think you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're
wrong. You are insane.
No, I'm insane. Do you want your team to win or not?
Now, sometimes I want them to lose.
Yeah, but that's stupid to me. It's not. The whole point of being a fan is to want your team to win. Like last year, the best example was you wanted the Jets to lose to the Patriots in the final game of the
year. Yes, correct.
Which makes no sense
to
me.
Yes, it does, because if they would have lost, they would have had a better draft pick.
So what? You're worried about the draft pick. What does it mean?
It means they may have had a better chance to win this year.
They may have. What are you into, the odds, or are we into being a fan? You don't take more enjoyment out of beating a team.
No.
I don't know what to tell you.
Not when the season's lost, no.
Fundamentally, yeah, but
now I can't do it in week two. I'm with you there.
It's you're a Jets fan. Every season is lost.
Well, but you don't know that at the beginning of the season, dude.
You're a Jets fan going into that game last year. You don't want to end that on a note where you beat, finally, for once and for all, Bill Belichick and the Patriots and send him out with an L.
Did you remember what I said to you the next day next month? I was unhappy. That meant nothing to me.
But I don't understand how that can be. Yeah.
Wow. Temporary gratification, which, by the way, I got none of after I shut the game. Oh, wow. Yeah. We beat Belichick. Wow. The streak is finally over. Woohoo. Think about what you were thinking on draft night. We just fundamentally disagree.
But that's what being a fan is about. And especially now, week two. I mean, what are we doing here? If that's your whole philosophy, like fans getting caught up in the tanking nonsense, bull crap, and I really want to use different words, but I can't, obviously, because I like my job.
So do I.
If that's something for the Astros or for foreign offices, and by the way, even then,
for the Astros?
I think it's wrong.
How to work out for the Astros. Well, how to work out.
Yeah, understood.
How did it work out?
Understood.
It worked out pretty well. So the Astros fans that were rooting for losses for this crazy
losses, the organization.
You know what I'm saying?
The organization
stripping down to tank, whatever.
Yeah, well,
how'd it work out?
Yeah, well, it gave them years. You wasted years, and then it worked out where
it worked out.
Well, they cheated. Number one.
I understand.
I mean, okay, but they've built a good team. It wasn't just because of that. They've been able to maintain a good team. By the way, how'd it work out for the Jets?
What do you mean?
I mean, the Jets have had top picks forever. And what have they done with it?
Well,
Astros, you also have to be good. But the Giants have had top picks, too. How's that worked out?
How many times have the Giants had the first pick? That's not true.
Giants had the second pick. They took a running back, the idiots.
I understand that. Listen, I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is quite what we thought he would be.
If Trevor Lawrence
was the quarterback of the Jets last year, rather than Zach Wilson, Jets are in the playoffs.
Nonsense. Trevor Lawrence is nowhere near.
He's twice as good as Zach Wilson.
Thank you for bringing up Trevor Lawrence. It's a perfect example.
But he's twice as good as Zach.
You know, everybody told me, Zach's one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the league. And by the way, he was the second pick. If you can't pick a competent player with the second pick overall, which both the Jets and Giants failed to do, you're worthless. Worthless.
You second love that pick word.
So you need to tank. You need to win zero games. So that's it. Go to your fans and win zero games just so you can have the top pick. And maybe, just maybe, you might pick a player that's competent. And even then, tank for Trevor. Tank for Trevor. Trevor, that's all I heard. Suck for Sam years ago. Suck for Sam. How'd that work out? It doesn't work out. So you as a fan, and it is a different conversation, BT, I understand the last game of the year versus week two.
Yeah,
but you as a fan are doing yourself a major disservice.
Nope.
If you're not rooting for your team to win, don't bother. Go apple picking. Spend some time with your wife and kids on a Sunday. Stop watching because you clearly don't care. If you're rooting for your team to lose going into week two, why bother?
Here's what you're missing, and it's a big thing pertaining to this conversation. So what Sal's saying is that if you root this early, that you're not that you're not a fan, but you know, check out, do the apple pick, and don't watch. Why bother? Okay, the reason why, and again, I wouldn't deploy that emotional tactic in week two. So I'm with you there. It's way early because I do think the Giants might be able to piece together something somewhat interesting. Maybe, probably not, but maybe. But it's actually a sign, I think, of being a better fan. Because let me take Marash. He was saying this, right, on the show?
Oh, he's one of the people.
Well, he's one of them, right? Yeah. But he's one of the people with a microphone who was saying that.
Yeah.
I think Sean Marash is a great fan. Right. I think he's a great Giants fan. Great. He's nuts. He's all these things. I love Sean. I think he's cool. But I think he's also out of his mind sometimes. But I do think here, I think he's right, and I know he's an awesome fan. His Rangers, his Yankees, his Giants, he's in, right? Mm-hmm. So if Sean Marash, with 4 months of football to go, is willing to take it on the chin, which he is, by saying he wants to lose every single week to get to a better place, I can say that he's actually a better fan.
Where's the guarantee they're going to get to a
better
place?
There is none, but it's about increasing.
But that's why it's stupid.
But it's about increasing the odds. I know there's no guarantee. Nobody's saying that.
And increasing the odds. How about you hire some competent people for a change?
Well, they did.
No, they didn't.
I think Dable's competent.
Okay,
I think Shane's competent.
But everybody would have said a couple years ago the Giants should tank. And instead, they made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Now, what do you get? You could argue.
Nobody said they should tank in week two.
No. But if your argument, going into the year, like,
in 2022?
Better off. You'd be better off getting a new quarterback.
Yeah, but they weren't saying tank.
Did anybody think the Giants were going to be good? So, and by the way, if your philosophy is tank to get a higher pick so you can be better, then wouldn't that pertain to every single year where you don't think your team could win at all?
No, because
why not?
I'm going to tell you why. Because not every single year, and forget about the Giants for a moment, just overall, not every year are you staring at 4-13 where you...
How do you know the Giants are going to win four games this year?
They might. I'm just saying. The reason why it's not the same philosophy every year is because when you're 7-9 back in the old 7-10, at least in theory, going into December, you got a puncher's chance. Maybe you can squeeze out 9 wins. Maybe you get some tiebreakers. Maybe something happens wacky. But when you're a 2-3-4 win team, you have no chance in hell to go to the playoffs. So you may as well just strip it down early and say, hey, if I'm going to absorb the pain for a brighter tomorrow. I actually get it.
How many years in a row have the Jets and Giants been picking in the top 10? I mean, think about the last decade. How many times we've been sitting here talking about top picks?
I understand.
And yet neither team has been able to work themselves out. How many years did the Knicks suffer and play god-awful, putrid basketball? Tank to a certain degree, not on purpose, but have top picks.
But it's not a fair comparison.
It's a great comparison.
No, it's not because the NBA is dictated by ping pong balls. The NFL, if you finish 1-16, you get the first pick.
A lot of times the
lottery balls never went in favor of them. Now, if they would have gotten Zion, I know RJ's gone. Tank for Zion. I wanted Zion. Didn't work out. So it would have been one of those situations where it didn't work out.
I wanted, what the hell's his name?
John Morant.
I wanted John Morant. That wouldn't have worked out either for different reasons.
I'm not saying it works out all the time.
Meanwhile, the Knicks have turned it around without those top picks.
How'd it work out for Tim Duncan and Popovich? Pretty well.
Well, they were a team that was already built that Robinson got hurt.
He got hurt, sure.
David got injured, which led them to the Duncan pick.
But they furthered that by keeping him out and stripping down the roster and increasing the odds, even though Robinson was out. You're right. Good memory. He was definitely out. But by doing what they did, put themselves statistically, just based on the odds percentage-wise, in a better position to secure the first overall pick, which they did, which led to a dynasty.
Did the Kansas City Chiefs have to tank to build the dynasty?
I'm not saying it's perfect. I understand that.
But you go around. I mean, did the Ravens have to tank to build the dynasty?
I'm not saying it's perfect.
Look at where a lot of these teams have their best players and where they drafted them. There's no guarantee. All I'm saying is fun. And I'm not, disagreeing with the odds of that. Like, okay, well, why win 6 games when you could win 4 games and get a better pick, which could theoretically help you in the future? What I'm saying is, and by the way, there is no guarantee that even that would help. Certainly not a guarantee that even picking first would help, as you've seen with Trevor Lawrence, or picking second with the Giants with Barkley, the Jets with Zach Wilson. What I'm saying is, fundamentally, we are sports fans. If we are not rooting for our teams to win during these games, especially in week 2 of a new NFL season, we are doing ourselves a tremendous disservice. You're rooting against the very people that you want to love in Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and Mara and all the players out there that you have the jersey and spend the time to watch the games or go buy the tickets and go to the games. You're rooting for them to lose? That just doesn't compute for a real sports fan. I'm sorry.
I understand that when it's bad for so long, and 22 was the anomaly, and I think this year is going to be more like the other years, those 6 wins or 4 wins, whatever, and Giant fans are tired of it. They're tired of going into that stadium and not hosting home playoff games. They're tired. You mentioned Mara. I don't think Giant fans love John Mara right now. The way it ended with Coughlin, the circus that went down with some of these coaches, Judge and Shermer and Odell. John Mara, I mean, I respect him. I respect the name for sure. I mean, the Giants are a platinum organization, but I don't think Giant fans are walking around saying, we love John Mara. I think they're just disgusted, and I understand it. And now, if this was year 2 or 3 of Daniel Jones, I think it would be a different energy. I would feel more with you. I just fundamentally am more with I'm not afraid to root against my team if I think it's going to get my team to a better spot tomorrow, even if during the now it's worse.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls. 888-808-1019. Scotty is in Hamilton. What's up, Scott?
What's up, Sal? What's up, BT?
How are you, Scott?
Hey, Sal, Scott?
I'm disagreeing with this. It's tank for Quinn right now.
Oh, my God.
It really is. No, Sal. You have to understand, they have had Daniel Jones through three different coaches.
I understand very well.
When is it time to give Dable an actual quarterback? And the Giants never should have picked up Daniel Jones at 6th overall. I'm sorry. I would have rather gone ahead through free agency and done it. But it was an overreach on it. Get rid of Jones.
I'm not rooting for Dable to be gone.
What? I
thought I just heard
overreach,
something.
Overreach, I thought he said.
Okay, I thought he said something else. Good, I'm sorry,
I thought
Scott.
That's what
no,
I heard.
No, overreach. Sorry, yeah. Okay. Sorry, if you're wrong.
Gotcha.
But you have to give Dable a quarterback who's capable of doing things. 1 year of Daniel Jones actually showing that he can do anything, and it was a fluke season. We beat the Vikings, and then we're back in the same boat because they never had an offensive line.
Right, it's but Scott, what do you know about the next guy? You don't. There is no guarantee. Daniel Jones was a 6th pick overall. Go ahead.
It's not a guarantee, Sal. It's not a guarantee, but it's at least an option out there.
So why don't you root for your... Like, they could have been done with Daniel Jones 10 times over, and thank you for the call. They don't need to tank to get rid of Daniel Jones. If that's the case, then you'd rather root for, hey, I want to see another quarterback. Get me Tommy DeVito if that's your guy, or Drew Locke. Like, don't you want to root for your team to win this week? If you're not, then what are we doing this for? We're going to sit here and root for these teams to lose every week? Hey, the Giants suck so bad, why not suck some more? I'm not watching the games anymore then. You don't care about it? Then I don't care about it. I'm going to sit there and waste 3 hours of my life and watch the Giants and root for them to lose? I'm not doing it.
But you're not a Giants fan, though.
I am. In this case, I am.
No, but you're apparently not. I know you're not a hater by any stretch, but you're not a Giants fan.
Well,
neither am I. So, by the way, we're not really equipped to answer this because we're not emotionally connected to it.
Bullcrap.
No. You're not sitting during... You're watching the Giants for your job. You're not sitting there, you know, with your guts in the sporting sense being twisted and ripped out and watching the Giants going back to the 70s or the 80s or the 90s with your dad and your grandfather and going to the Meadowlands and tailgating and watching all the players and hoping and rooting and the ups and the downs. That impacts me with the Jets.
Who do you think doesn't impact
you with the Giants or me?
Who do you think the Giants' results impact more, you or I, or just an average fan?
Say that again. I want to make sure I understand that.
Who do you think the results of the Giants' games impact more, you or I, what we do, or the average fan?
Emotionally, the average fan. Economically, it might impact you and I more.
I'm as big a Giant fan as anybody. I want all New York teams to do well. That's good for what we do. So I don't want to hear it because I didn't grow up going to MetLife Stadium for either the Giants or Jets or the Meadowlands, whatever, that I can't resonate with the Giant fan. I also bet the Giants over. I'm rooting for the Giants because I like money. And I can be in touch with any fan base because I am a fan, a passionate New York sports fan. So to sit there and say that you're going to waste 3 hours of your life rooting for your team, like, why would you watch that then? Why would you sit there and watch your team and root for them to lose
tradition.
For 3 hours on a Sunday?
It's tradition.
Not rooting for your team to lose is not tradition.
No, I'm saying sitting down, the food, the fantasy, the gambling, the camaraderie. Well, here's the thing. All right, so now I don't think, even though this is a very interesting discussion, I don't think that the overwhelming majority of Giant fans are hoping they lose this week.
Right.
I think it's more, if I had to cap it at a number, 20%? I think it's fairly low. I don't think that it really mirrors what Sean and others were saying.
Right.
I know that was a hot thing on the air yesterday. I don't agree with it here, but I don't fundamentally oppose it bigger picture. And let me just throw a different branch in there, right, from the same tree. So you're right. You know, you can tank, and to be clear, the teams never tank. That always gets a little muddled.
Right.
No team.
I wouldn't say never. The Astros did.
Well,
I
mean, but I'm saying players.
Yeah, right.
Players never run out there and say, let me lose, and maybe in the process, by not playing hard, God forbid, get drilled and get a concussion and get hurt and take away food off my family's table. Right. Like, the players are playing, and the coaches, if they're hanging by a thread, are coaching to it. The management might have a different vision. Yeah,
The Eagles a couple years ago, whatever.
There's no doubt. But, like, if I can get... And I don't mean now, I mean like after Thanksgiving. If I have a chance to increase the odds of me, a team that I own, getting the second slot in the draft or getting the 7th, I'm not going to the playoffs. I have no chance. It's over, right? Myself, and you can quibble, you can laugh, you can mock, you can protest. That's fine. This is what I'm saying. If it's my team and my money, I would rather get the 2nd pick and increase the odds of, number one, having teams call up and make a trade with me where I get more draft equity. Number two, being in a position to, percentage-wise, get a guy that I like more than I would have at 7. It's simple. Like, it's really not that hard.
Right. And then I would say, then just don't be a sports fan. Go into math or something.
You say that, but that doesn't apply here. Right. The reason why, here's one thing I think you're missing. The reason why Giant fans are rooting, if they are, against the Giants, it's not because they're not sports fans and they want to go apple picking with their wife and their kids. It's because they want a better Giants team because they love the Giants that much. And they're tired of this.
Then
Giants have sucked for 13 years.
Right.
I mean, they've been almost as bad as the New York Jets. And the Jets have been an atrocity. The Jets have been abominable. And every level, drafting, coaching, consistency, winning, the Jets have been a train wreck. And I got news for you. The Giants have been in the same station that they've been in. They pulled out a little earlier because they got the playoffs in 2022. Otherwise, it's been the same roadmap for these awful teams lately.
And you just proved my exact point. With all that sucking, where's it gotten them? You might as well root for your team to win. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right now, be caller number 13 on this September 13th. Friday the 13th, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Korn at Prudential Center on September 23rd. This is from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com. All right, we'll get back to the calls here. Jets or Giants, huge week two, 888-808-1019. Aside from the tanking aspect, it really is a huge week for both these two teams here, BT. Jets need to win this game for different reasons, show some dominance, in my opinion. You just want to get a win.
Yep.
Okay. Giants, if they don't win this game, on paper, there aren't very many winnable games. Again, not saying they can't win them, but on paper going in, this is one of the few games where you look at the Giants and say, hey, they, you know, whether it's Minnesota week one or anytime they play Washington, those should be the games where the Giants have to win. And, you know, whether they win or not, I guess we could wait to discuss that on Monday, seeing how it plays out. But if they don't look like a competitive, competent football team, I don't know how you could not then start to turn the conversation. Forget about Daniel Jones. We all know what Daniel Jones is, whether you want to bench him or not. We talked about if they struggle, I would bench him in the first half. If he struggles the first half, you bench him in halftime. But we're talking about Shane and Dable. Year three here, if they can't prove to be a competent roster and look much better than what we saw in week one, I don't know how you could defend these guys moving forward.
I think that the Giants season has a... Well, man, it's hard to... See, part of me wants to say, and I believe this, like if the there's a little apathy that's already crept into the Giant fan base. I think it's torn. Like some people want them to tank, some people want them to win, some people don't expect, most people don't really expect much this season, no matter what. So I'm trying to just compare the energy of a loss on Monday. Like if the Jets lose versus the Giants losing, I think it's so much worse towards the Jets.
Agreed.
Okay.
But it would still be bad with the Giants.
It would be, but it wouldn't be as bad. And
I think because people don't expect much from them, but the conversation then to me would turn to Shane and Dable, or at least it should. It shouldn't just be, oh, Daniel Jones stinks and they need to make a change at quarterback and suck for the top quarterback and then have Shane and Dable pick that quarterback. Like, what are we kidding ourselves here? If the Giants can't compete, if Brian Dable can't figure out a way to compete with the Washington Commanders in week two, after what we saw week one, I mean, I think all bets are off. And it could get even uglier then moving forward. And we discussed this last year, the same thing. It can't be 2 years of that in a row when in year two and three, you're supposed to get better as a team, not worse as a team. So how is that not on directly on Joe Shane?
It would be. I mean, it's his roster. Outside of the quarterback, he didn't draft him. They also didn't draft Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence. You know, they're two best players. But I think that the Dable stuff is so interesting because he was very terse the other day with the media. We talked about this. And that works if you Belichick. And even then, it wasn't really – I didn't love it. I would still criticize Belichick for basically being a jerk. I'm not saying Dable was a jerk, but he was very you know, very, 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 very terse. And that's fine. Week one, all right, coach, we get you pissed off. Week two, if you don't come out and show a much better, just have a much better showing, and he's the same way, it's going to become a little adversarial, I think. And when it becomes adversarial, that's when things unravel fast.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Paul is in Bay Shore. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. 42 years of Giants fandom, I have never, ever advocated for tanking until now. They got him. This guy is not the right guy. In order for us to get a quarterback, we got to pick in top three, top four. We got to tank.
Why?
They missed the opportunity this past year.
Wait, where are you getting your information from? Well, hold on, Paul. I'll let you finish. Where are you getting your information from? In order to get a top quarterback, you need to pick in the top three. Where's that coming from?
Because it's
not accurate.
Because you look at the draft, Sal.
Yeah.
All the franchise quarterbacks go in the top three and four.
That's not true at all. Where did Tom Brady get drafted? Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Paul. Well, let's just try to get some facts here. Where did Tom Brady get drafted?
Oh, my gosh.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. Where did Brock Purdy get drafted?
Sal, you are going to go once in a lifetime.
Where did Lamar Jackson get drafted? You don't want to have the conversation.
Montana, fourth round. Russell Wilson, third round. Fourth round, whatever it was.
Do we need to go on? I mean, come on. Where did Jordan Love get drafted? Where did Aaron Rodgers get drafted? I mean, how many more examples do I need to give you? I said Mahomes before, over him.
Yep.
I mean,
Dak.
Come on. And by the way, how's Bryce Young looking?
Terrible.
And where did he get picked again, just for memory's sake? Oh, right. Number one. They took him number one over C.J. Stroud. So the Texans, with the number two pick, found a franchise quarterback. Man, shocking how that worked out that way. Interesting. I'm not saying you can't take a top quarterback or can't pick a franchise quarterback with a top three, top five pick. By the way, the Giants had a chance to take Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks currently in the league. Had a chance to do it. What'd they do? And we know about with the Jets, same boat, taking Sam Darnold. You know, could have Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes, even if they did take him, he wouldn't have been the same because of the Reed system. There's a lot that's the point. A lot goes into drafting and developing a quarterback. Not, we need a top pick so we can get a top. That's just factually incorrect.
Here's what I find interesting. And, I mean, this is the overwhelming majority of people. So if you want the Giants to tank, those who do.
Right.
I would almost guarantee that most of those people don't even know these quarterbacks in college.
1,000%.
Like, so, hey, I want this guy. Oh, what team? You talking about Cam Ward? Who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, where's Cam Ward play? Miami?
Yeah.
Have you watched him play yet? What do you think about his tape? What's his strength? What's his weakness? Now, I'm not saying you have to turn into a scout, but the amount of, and here's where I'll meet you a little bit, although we do disagree a little bit as well. Like, the amount of blind faith in these young kids, half of whom play in systems that exploit wide swaths of space, meaning you're not thrown to a teeny weeny tiny little keyhole window, which you'll be forced to do on Sunday. Instead, you're thrown to a 7-yard radius because your coach is brilliant and you have superior talent on the outside, and you're winning 60-10 against a team that you pay $900,000 to come to your campus to get their brains beat in a buy-in game. So do you really know what you're even watching? I admit most of the time, I don't even really know what I'm watching.
I have no idea who the quarterbacks in college are. You know why? Because I don't give a crap. I focus on New York sports. I could care less about the college quarterback. I'll worry about that when it comes draft time. And even then, we still don't know. Because how are we supposed to know? When I say we, I don't mean BT and I mean everybody, all of us. How are we supposed to know when they don't know? And it is their job. They're sending out scouts last year, 3 years ago, this year, to scout these quarterbacks. Then the one day that they might have an opportunity to pick these quarterbacks, and they still get it wrong. So nobody knows, which makes it even asinine to discuss. Just go based off of recent examples. You mentioned it before, BT. Tank for Trevor. Tank for Trevor. Tank for Trevor. Tank for Trevor. How are the Jaguars doing? What year is it now with Trevor Lawrence? Have I seen a transcendent quarterback? Oh, no, he's the next Peyton Manning. Can't miss with Tank for Trevor. And I said it then, so I've been consistent. I was saying it then. No, that's stupid. Don't tank for Trevor, because I guarantee. Go back and check the tape. It was on the overnight, wherever it may have been. SNY, here, I don't care. I guarantee you Trevor Lawrence will not be as good as everybody says. Guess what? I was right. They were all wrong again. He's not as good as everybody says. So again, we're going to go back into that? Suck for this guy, tank for that guy, lose for this guy. It's stupid. I understand why fans want to do that. You're doing yourself a disservice. Root for your team to win. Now, most likely you're going to root for your team to win. You're going to disappoint. They're going to lose anyway. But what fun is that, rooting for your team to lose? I just fundamentally disagree with.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to agree that Trevor Lawrence isn't quite what we thought he was supposed to be. The way he burst on the scene as a kid, first year at Clemson, like, wow.
Right.
Peyton with quickness, oh boy. I mean, just the way he processes, the body, very similarly built, only he's got a little wiggle to him, and he still does. He runs a little bit in the NFL. But so he's not what we thought he would be, but I will certainly push back and say, and I said this, 40 minutes ago pertaining to the Jets, like, if they had Trevor Lawrence last year, they're a playoff team. Now, they're not a Super Bowl team, but with that defense and the 4 or 5 games they lost by a couple of points, Trevor Lawrence's QB, and instead of Boyle or White the year before or Zach last year, they're a playoff team.
Do you think if the Jets, let's not say take Trevor Lawrence and put him as he is now on the Jets last year, if the Jets drafted Trevor Lawrence instead, you think he'd still be at the same caliber he is right now?
I do. You know why? Because think about what the Jaguars did to him in his first year. Remember they hired the coach from Ohio State?
Yeah, yeah.
Urban Meyer. They did everything to ruin him, and he had the resilience to plow through and become, better than average,
New York.
Not transcendent. Meaning, even if the Jets did their best to ruin him, like the Jets seemingly do with every quarterback they draft, I think that he's resilient and good enough to plow through to at least be competent.
I would bet New York would have chewed him up and spit him out by now.
I don't know about that.
They had no offensive coordinator, a defensive first head coach. You know, remember,
I mean, he's pretty bad in Jacksonville.
Well, but they hired a Super Bowl winning head coach.
His coach didn't fly back with the team, and he was you know, but then married they hired man, it's not my business, but, you know, he's basically doing what he's doing with that chick at the bar, didn't fly back with the team. I mean, you couldn't set a quarterback up for a worse entrance into the NFL than they did with him.
But then they hired Doug Peterson.
I understand. Well, okay.
Super Bowl winning offensive mind. So I'm saying, like, you just
Doug Peterson as good as we thought
he was? Plus, Jacksonville's not New York.
So you're talking about the media scrutiny.
100%.
Yeah, listen, but did New York break Zach, or did Zach's inability to read a defense break Zach?
I think all of the above.
Well, okay, yeah, but we can't quantify that. Well, I mean, I guess it's your opinion.
Yeah, right.
But I think that Trevor Lawrence, and again, Clemson is not, South Carolina's not New York, but the Clemson spotlight, in a lot of ways, is 10 times bigger than the Jet spotlight. I know that that's college, but, you know, listen, they're not necessarily apples to apples. I think Lawrence is better than you do. I certainly grant he's not quite what we thought he would be, but he's pretty good.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. We'll continue with your football calls here on a Football Friday. Week 2 NFL, huge week for both the Jets and the Giants, both playing Sunday at 1 o'clock. Jets in Tennessee, Giants in Washington, 888-808-1019. You know, playoff push here, BT, for both the Mets and Yanks. Yanks last night getting another extra inning win. For me, the pitching stood out. But, I mean, look, you look at the offense again, whether it's Volpe struggling, he could become a problem. We'll have that conversation down the road.
Yep.
You know, certainly not on a Football Friday. But, again, Aaron Judge coming up empty.
They had a base running gaff late as well.
Yeah, with Jazz
Chisholm there. I thought Volpe's hit was going to actually find some grass. It didn't. Left field bases loaded. But, listen, good. You take the win, you stack them. Yankees get a little separation from the O's. But Aaron Judge has had... He's had the most amazing New York baseball season that I've ever seen, but he's also had the strangest amazing New York baseball season I've ever seen because he did nothing in April, and he's bookmarking this with nothing in September. It's very odd. Now, I'm not of the mindset that even if he struggles the rest of September, that's a prelude to October, you know, emptiness. Mm. But, I mean, Aaron Judge is not 24. He's not 26. He's in his 30s. He's got a massive contract. He is the captain. And the Yankees are about championships. Aaron Judge has to wake up.
You see, I don't think that they need Judge to be a superstar to win the World Series. I think the pitching is the key. They've shown that. When the Yankees were at their best, April and May, and that is when they were their best because they've been a 500 team since June, under 500, I think, since mid-June. So the Yankees were at their best in April and May. It was the pitching. You saw last night, really the last couple of nights, where the offense, in Chicago as well, Yankees have played their best the last week because of the pitching. The bats have been quiet. So they can survive and win. Now, you either need Judge or Soto or somebody else on any given night, but as long as the pitching is what it's been, whether it be April or May or what it's been this last week, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think that they're so reliant on Aaron Judge being great.
Listen, I think the Yankees have a real chance to win the World Series here, but without Aaron Judge having any sort of impact, and I think he's going to have some, to what degree, I have no idea. I mean, I don't think Aaron Judge is going to hit 191 the rest of the way with four RBIs and just go into the night with a whimper. But
that's what it's been for the last how long?
Well, I'm just throwing out numbers, but it's been very, I mean, he has not had a home run in 16 consecutive games, longest of his career. He's hitting sub 200 in September. Like, the numbers are ugly. I mean, Aaron Judge hasn't done anything here. But the difference, and I hear you with, like, April when they were playing amazing baseball and generally led by certainly the starting pitching. But the only other difference there was while Soto was great, Verdugo was awesome, Volpe was better, and Cabrera was contributing. Now, right now, Verdugo's gotten a little bit better, but not even close to being the same guy that he was in April. Volpe's done nothing for a while, and then Cabrera's pretty much a non-entity. Now, I don't know that it's as simple to say that they were playing their best, which is a true statement. They were playing their best when Judge wasn't doing anything. Yes, that's literally true, but the other components were so much more influential on the season that if those guys don't join the party, then it offsets the great pitching that they've been getting late. They got to score some runs, dude.
But even think about these. I agree, but think about these last six games. Like, they're going to have to score some runs at some point, and that's one of the reasons why I knocked them, saying the offense is inconsistent. And I also don't think that they're going to get this type of pitching consistently, which to me then is even more of a problem because then they're going to need to hit. But look at what they did in Chicago. Like, they won 2 of 3. Everybody said, oh, Yankees are back. They went 2 of 3. they did it all with pitching.
Yep.
And again, 2 of 3 against the Royals, they did it all with pitching. And again, last night against the Red Sox, like, the Yankees put themselves in a spot because of their pitching. And Gleyber Torres, a Yankee Stadium home run was it until they were given the guy at second base. I mean,
yep.
And the Yankees are built to win when you put a guy at second base and they're batting with, you know, Soto, Judge, or whatever, the top.
Yeah, but usually they lose those games because situational hitting has not been phenomenal.
Yeah, if you get a guy on second base and you're coming up in the bottom of the 9th or bottom of the 10th or bottom of the 11th inning, guys put there for free, and you got Soto and Judge coming up, and you can't figure out a way to win that game.
Well, you don't need Soto. I think that applies to most teams. Yeah. I mean, you can have some obscure 6, 7, 8 hitter for the Rockies. You know, man on second base, nobody out. Right. Hey, you got to be, I mean, completely useless not to scratch out a couple wins.
But the Yankees,
you don't need Judge and Soto to win there.
But think about how they won their last 2 games.
I know. You know, listen, it's not exactly reinforced. Well, on some level it is. While I am a little worried about the offense, not overly, because I don't think I've really gone up and down too much with this Yankees team. I think I've been fairly consistent with most things. Not everything, but most things this year with the Yankees. I actually like the fact that they're getting battle-tested. And they're playing, even though there will be no ghost runner in October, they're playing pressurized games, pennant race here. You know, where a single pitch obviously matters. If you don't make a defensive play, you lose. If you don't get a runner in and over, you lose. Like, they're getting hardened a little bit, which I think will serve them well in the playoffs.
Let's get back to the phones here, talking football, 888-808-1019. Mario is in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Mario? Hey.
You know, I just want to tell you real quick before I talk to my point. There's one thing that differentiates you guys between just about everybody else, and I really like it. You stick to sports all the time.
Oh.
I really like that.
I mean, not only we appreciate that. We are a sports first show. We like to have some fun with some other stuff, but we are a sports first show. Thank
you. But sometimes you go on some of the other shows. I won't mention them. I like them all, though, and then they go off on a tangent about something else, and then I turn it off because I want to hear sports.
It's different shows, man, and they're all successful. You know, we're different.
What I like about your show. So
thank
I just wanted to tell you what I like better about your shows. But I agree with everything you're saying about tanking. You don't tank in the second game. But what you might do, which also I agree with Sal, is you may want to, if Jones stinks, you may want to bench him. Listen, if you're going into this, and then I have one other comment on Trevor Lawrence, and I'll let you go. If you're going into the 6th season, and you're with the same team they drafted you, and you still don't know if you're the starting quarterback, you're not the starting quarterback.
Right, bingo.
I don't think... Has that ever happened in history, do you know?
Yeah, anybody? It has, actually. Right off the top of my head, it's called Alex Smith, who was the first overall pick, 5 slots higher than Daniel Jones. Look it up.
Who is it?
Alex Smith.
And he was there for 6 years?
Yep.
And he actually had more success than Jones.
He had much less success than Jones. He was absolutely horrendous.
Once Harbaugh took over.
Yeah, but Harbaugh didn't take over until like year 5 or 6. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the point.
Well, I mean, Dable took over in year four
and Jones, and he had
success. And then what happened last year?
Well, first of all, I think Daniel Jones is, thanks for the call, Mario. I do think we're distorting a little bit. It's very easy to say, well, it's been 6 years. How do you not know? Okay. We probably do know, to be fair, but it has not been 6 years, to be fair. Because, number one, the first year, he was pretty good to the point where he got a nickname, which is no longer applicable.
Hmm.
But he flashed enough where, and I know I wasn't alone, where we thought, wow, this young player is interesting. He's fast. He's big. He's tough. He's pretty good. And then in year four, he got to the playoffs. I know, it's tired. Won a road playoff game, blah, blah. Okay, but he did that. So it's not really 6 years. So that's 2 years that are pretty good. Last year got wiped out due to injury. All right, so now we're down to 3 years. And the other years, there were some injuries and incompetence everywhere. So you guys make it seem like it's been 6 years with a stellar coaching staff and consistency and a great offensive line and weapons. Yeah, nothing.
No, what it's been is 5+ years of excuses for Daniel Jones.
Not necessarily.
Every year, it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
You just said it. Well, the incompetent coaching, the offensive line, lack of weapons, injuries, that's all I've heard for 5+ years. It's excuses for Daniel Jones. Yet I watch him with my own 2 eyes, and I see a quarterback that in year 6 looks the same as he did in year 1 or 2.
Well, you can make the case he looks worse because now he's short hop and screen passes, and that's why the level of concern is up. But what I'm saying is it's not 6 years when 1 year he was really good, another year he was very good. I'm just saying, I think it's stretched out a little bit to fit the narrative. Whatever. And by the way, can I just back this up with Alex Smith real quick? Real quick. Here's his record. He's the first overall pick. 2-5, 7-9, 2-5, 5-5, 3-7. His fourth year, he missed it. Didn't play a snap, hurt his shoulder. First year, 1 touchdown, 11 picks. First overall pick.
Yeah.
Second year, 16-16. Not good. Not terrible, but not good. Next year, 2-4. Next year, didn't play a snap. I mean, come on. I mean, so there are, now, there's not a lot of examples, but you asked for an example, and I gave you
one. Well, he said of year six. So then, what was Smith? Give me, you have his
I got everything that you need.
Okay, so how many years was he with the Niners?
He was with the Niners for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, and what was...
One of which he missed entirely due to injury
shoulder. So what was year five for him?
By the way, his record with the Niners was slightly over 500, because once Harbaugh got there, and I was living out
which
there,
was,
so
which
I saw
year
it.
Again did you say
that Harbaugh? That was 2011,
right?
And he went 13-3.
But what year in the league for Smith?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Smith's seventh year in the league?
Yeah.
And he was the starter the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
but he got hurt a couple times, yeah. But yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean.
And then he was actually the starter, and he was 6-2-1 in 2012, and he got concussed. He self-reported it, and he lost his job.
Right, but also, Smith was never great anyway. I mean, he was good with Harbaugh, but Harbaugh, to get to the Super Bowl, had to remove Smith and go with Colin Kaepernick.
No, but that's a different discussion. I'm just responding
still
to
he still wasn't good enough. Even in Kansas City.
But the caller said, name a quarterback that you didn't know about after 6 years. I just gave you one.
Right.
And it was 7 years.
No, but I still think the point was we knew that Alex Smith was never going to be what he was.
That's not true. Yes and no. Semantics a bit.
Well, he was taken number one overall.
I understand that. But Sal, look at his first year when hear me on this. He completed 50% of his passes,
right,
and he had one touchdown and 11 picks.
Right, so he got better in your...
He went from that to the NFC Championship game at 11-3. 13-3.
But 4 years
in
later.
Year set, 6 years later.
With a different coach.
Yeah.
An all-time great head coach in Harbaugh.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hear that, but...
And that coach took a team to a Super Bowl by replacing him, going with Colin Kaepernick. Also, Alex Smith was replaced in Kansas City, and then there was a dynasty.
Correct, but he also won 11 games 3 times in a row in Kansas City. He was pretty good. And what was Kansas City before that? Not that good.
He was a serviceable.
He was a little better than serviceable.
He was taken number one overall.
I understand that.
I mean, they made a major mistake not taking Rodgers.
What would we say if Daniel Jones threw one touchdown and 11 picks in year one? What would we say if...
You need to see improvement in year two.
He would have been gone. Yeah. What would we say if in year three, Daniel Jones completed 48.7, which he did, percent of his passes? I mean, I know that Daniel Jones isn't the ultimate answer. He's not nearly as bad as some of you guys think. He's just not.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.